At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Lupe Valdez owes more than $12,000 in overdue property taxes on 7 properties. The Houston Chronicle first reported the news. Valdez's campaign acknowledges she owes back property taxes, but is paying them in installments. The full amount isn't due until January. In a statement today, a Valdez campaign spokesman said it was an example of property taxes being unpredictable and burdensome for Texans. Valdez, the former Dallas County Sheriff, won Tuesday's primary runoff to become the state's first openly gay and Hispanic gubernatorial candidate. She faces Republican Governor Greg Abbott in November. Governor Abbott met today at the state capitol with survivors of the mass shooting at Santa Fe High School and a similar attack in November at a church in Sutherland Springs. The closed-door meeting is the last of 3 days of talks to address school safety and gun violence following last week's school shooting that killed 10 people. The first two meetings focused on school security and tracking student mental health. Michelle Kinder attended yesterday's roundtables. She's executive director of the Dallas-based Momentous Institute and has worked in the children's mental health field for 20 years. She talked about the roundtable with David Brown, host of Texas Standard.
It was a great example of adults being adults in a tricky situation and how a community social emotional health has to show up before we can create space for children to develop their own social emotional health.
When people in the context of gun violence at schools start talking about mental health, quite often those who believe that we aren't doing enough on the gun front think that we're trying to sidestep the gun issue. Have you encountered this attitude?
Honestly, I respect and in some ways share the attitude. There is a real concern that the mental health piece can be used as an exit ramp. When we look at our situation compared to our international peers, mental health is not the only piece of the puzzle. So that was one of the things I appreciated about the roundtable yesterday, is that the gun piece was on the table as well. And there was also a broadening out of school safety, which of course, at that point, you start looking at what is happening that is creating so much suffering, trauma, toxic stress for children that's getting expressed in lots of harmful ways, including mass shootings, but also suicide and lots of different ways children are sending up flares for us to let us know that things are not okay.
Has something fundamentally changed on the mental health front for these kids?
We are seeing more children isolated, more children managing tremendous anxiety, depression. Social media plays a role in this, so less connection, less a sense of belonging, and very, very overwhelmed adults who are being asked to be miracle workers in terms of wearing hats of teachers, therapists, parents, and it's just too hard to deeply connect for each child in our country to feel seen and known and understood by at least one adult. The research is clear that if one adult connects deeply with a child, it can put them on a completely different path in terms of resilience.
The governor seemed to suggest that we need to do more to screen young people for possible mental health issues. What do you make of that idea?
You know, I think any way that we can closely track on how children are doing and intervene earlier when things are shaky, it's better. It's when children feel invisible and they're left to their own devices in terms of managing fears or anxieties or problems that feel too big for them. Then they're faced with feeling like they also feel too big to the adults around them. That's a bad recipe. A caveat, though, we don't want to pathologize. So this sort of early mental health awareness and checks needs to happen in the context of mental health and how we are all on this path of figuring out how to best understand and manage our emotions and our reactions and our relationships. We don't want to use this as one more way to pathologize young people.
That was Michelle Kinder, executive director of the Momentous Institute, talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. Parenthood is rewarding, but also pretty difficult. And in rare cases, it can be dangerous for both parent and child. In this week's Spotlight, Arden Seek's Hadi Mawagdi meets an actress whose son has severe autism. She's written a play that explores her experiences, and it's being workshopped at Theater 3.
Fire truck! Oh! Hey, turn on! This is the opening scene of the play Self-Injurious Behavior. Jude Segrest plays Benjamin, an 11-year-old who's severely autistic. He's having a sensory meltdown, screaming, slamming his body into objects, and trying to pound his head into a wall. The play's main character is Benjamin's mother. Jessica Cavanaugh plays that role.
Oh, okay, helmet time, buddy, it's helmet time. Here we go.
You may have seen Cavanaugh perform at Theater 3, Water Tower Theater, or Stage West. Her characters often deal with heavy stuff. She's played a racist, a suicidal daughter, even a lovelorn farmer in Ireland.
They're not easy, you know, like they're challenging. And sometimes I get halfway through the process and I'm like, why have I done this to myself? And why do I gravitate towards these kind of roles?
But Cavanaugh, a self-described introvert, says these roles can be cathartic.
Like it's a release. It's a way to actually show my truest self, even though it sounds strange because you're playing a character. But you can hide behind that and then show everything.
There's no hiding in this role for Cavanaugh because she wrote Self-Injurious Behavior, and it's based partially on her own experiences.
I started writing it after we admitted my son to a home for difficult special needs children because he's on the autism spectrum and he had become very violent, and we got to the point where we felt like we couldn't keep him safe anymore.
She admitted her son Elijah when he was 12. And it was a devastating decision that sent Cavanaugh down a spiral of depression.
You know, nobody wants to send their kid away. Nobody wants to have their kid placed out of the home, but sometimes that's necessary.
That's Dr. Allison Wilkinson-Smith. She's a pediatric neuropsychologist at Children's Medical Center Dallas. She works with families who have autistic children.
It's one thing when you have a 2-year-old who's kicking and maybe hitting their head or things like that. It's another thing when you have a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old, it can be dangerous to the kid, even the parents.
In the play, Benjamin hits himself and kicks his mom, even pulls out his own tooth. Cavanaugh's son did that too. And Dr. Wilkinson says there are treatments for these sorts of behaviors, but there isn't a cure-all. Again, Jessica Cavanaugh.
You know, I was suicidal for a while. I felt like I was doing my son no good. These people will do better, and I have no purpose anymore.
Around this time, Cavanaugh didn't really talk about Elijah's behavioral issues. But one day, about 4 or 5 years ago, after visiting Elijah at his group home in Louisiana, she had to get some things off her chest.
So I just sat down and I wrote about the worst day I could remember, which was a day when he was melting down, screaming, banging his head on the wall, me trying to hold him down. And I mean, it was just an entire day and night.
What she jotted down became the opening scene to Self-Injurious Behavior.
I think I was desperate to just express something and to find some kind of release and not have it bottled up in me.
The play deals with the aftermath of her excruciating decision. It's set at a Renaissance fair of all places, and it's packed with hilarious one-liners about motherhood. But more importantly, the show's about growth.
The play is actually about a lot more than simply being a parent. I think a lot of it is learning to forgive yourself, learning to reconcile yourself with the choices you've made. But one of my favorite things about it is that I feel like it is opening a door to a life that most people do not realize that their friends with a child with autism might be dealing with.
Today, Cavanaugh's son, Elijah, is doing a lot better. He's 18, and after 6 years in a group home, she says he's much healthier and happier than before. She visits him every month. Cavanaugh's healthier, too. Writing the play helped her come to terms with what she endured. It also helped her forgive herself for sending Elijah away. She hopes her play can do the same for other mothers facing similar challenges. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Jessica Cavanaugh's play is being performed at Theater 3 through June 10th. We have more details at artandseek.org. For the evening, partly cloudy skies, should be a low around 73 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and hot with a high in the upper 90s. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.